It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Bradford little screen. That's a lateral. That ball's behind him. It's loose. Picked up by the Giants. Foley's got it. Running down the right sideline. To the 30. To the 20. 15. 10. 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Manning back to throw. Looks end zone on the post for Dominic Hickson. Bobbles the ball and then makes the catch for the touchdown.
Jump ball deflected.
And caught off the deflection. Running down the right sideline for a touchdown is Victor Cruz. And he does the samba in the end zone.
Patrick back to throw. Lobs one left for Johnson.
Intercepted by Corey Webster.
And it takes a low snap. He's back. Throws one left down the sideline for Nix,
who makes the catch for a touchdown. With 2:30 to go, Hakeem Nix.
Now here are your hosts, John Schmelk and Lance Meadow.
Johnny Schmelk and Lance Meadow, Big Blue Kickoff Live on this Monday morning on Giants.com. Good morning, everybody. How you doing? The Giants are in the playoffs for the first time since 2008. They'll have a chance to win their first playoff game since 2007. It is a good morning for the New York Football Giants here at the Timex Performance Center. They defeat the Dallas Cowboys at MetLife Stadium, 34-14. A very, very impressive win. The Giants, in their biggest spot of the season, come up with one of their best performances, offense, defense, special teams. They played a clean game, no turnovers, very few penalties. And Lance, this Giant team stepped up in a big spot when they needed to, and it showed. They beat their rivals. They're headed to the playoffs to take on the Atlanta Falcons on Sunday at 1 p.m.
And the biggest question mark that we had, John, heading into that game, I think, last week, was the fact about which defense would show up. And I think the Giants answered that question. They picked up where they left off against the Jets, and they pretty much mimicked that type of performance. And that says a lot about the momentum surrounding this team, how the defense is starting to click at the right time. OCU Mignore's return couldn't have come at a better time.
Nope.
I mean, it did not take him very long to get reacclimated with that Giants line. They got creative. It allowed Perry Fuel to be very flexible in terms of moving guys around, and clearly it paid off. I mean, you don't sack Tony Romo 6 times without any effort. There was a lot of fire on that line. They won the battle at the line of scrimmage. There was tremendous intensity from that defensive front, and the Dallas offensive line had simply no answer.
Not in the first half. In the second half, they seemed to kind of figure things out. The pass rush wasn't a great, but you're right. In that first half, Tony Romo didn't have a chance.
And in the second half, though, even when the pass rush became non-existent at times, when they needed it the most, Justin Tuck comes through with that big sack, yep, and Tony Romo fumbles the ball. So, you know, maybe they turned the switch on and off at times, but they got the pressure when they needed it to really shut the door on yesterday's game.
Oh, no question about it. And Lance, one of the things we talked about at the end of last week's show, and I gave you kind of my key to the game, and it was take advantage of opportunities. And I said it's kind of simple, but it's going to come down to that. And just take a look at one of the Cowboys' first possessions. Des Bryant beats Corey Webster off the line. Romo overthrows him by a little bit. Of course, Des Bryant, I'm not sure he's supposed to run that fade towards the sideline more. Maybe he could have caught it. But bottom line, a play to be made. Cowboys didn't make it. Giants come back. Later in, Victor Cruz catches that little out pattern. Terrence Newman can't make the tackle. He does a great job. Instead of just giving up and doing the lazy thing that a lot of players might have done and just go out of bounds, he turns it up and he gets the long touchdown. The Giants fumble the punt return. Will Blackman. The ball is sitting there in the middle of the field. The Dallas Cowboys can't recover it. That could have been a pickup and a touchdown for Dallas. Later on in the game, Jacobs had the fumble. Sitting on the floor for about 3 seconds. Nobody knows where it is. Another situation. Victor Cruz, man coverage against Orlando Scandrick. Victor Cruz makes the play. Orlando Scandrick does not. It's making plays when you have to. The Giants did. The Cowboys did not.
And also, I'll throw in Bear Pascal and Henry Heinoski hurtling, yep, over Cowboy defenders.
Well, I mean, Terrence Newman. There's only one Cowboy defender involved in those plays, who, by the way, he had a terrible game.
Awful game.
I think it might be time to file those retirement papers.
Boy, I mean, that was pretty bad.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, there were times where he would literally go for the tackle and he was not even looking at the person he was trying to tackle.
And put the tackling aside, the Giants just picked on him all day. I didn't see him throw to Mike Jenkins' side of the field once. They just went right after Terrence Newman pretty much the whole game.
And you got to give them credit for that.
No question.
You got to take that. That falls into the category of taking advantage of your opportunities. Listen, there was a point where Kenny Phillips gets hurt yesterday. Tyler Sash comes in. There was a little bit of a miscommunication on that Giant secondary area where they were telling him where to go.
And the Cowboys ran it.
And, yeah, they didn't throw at him. So that's not taking, yep, advantage of an opportunity.
No question. All right, folks. This is the morning for you guys. It's a show for the fans. So we're going to be taking your calls at 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513, or you can send in your questions on Twitter at hashtag Giants Chat. All right, let's go to the phones. He drove up all the way from Virginia. I'm not sure if he's still in the tri-state area or not. Maybe he's on his way down. Zeke's still here. He's probably partying all night last night.
And he brought his computer with him, apparently.
He's from Virginia, but he's in New Jersey. Zeke, good morning.
Yeah, what's up? You can't hear me all right?
Yeah, I got you loud and clear, Zeke.
Yeah, right now I'm in Clifton, New Jersey, about to go to IHOP.
Nice.
About to head back a little bit. Man, let me tell you, we had Section 101 going crazy last night. I mean, me and my brother, he started off the defensive chant last night, and after that, Antron Roll got the pick. I mean, we took our shirts off in the fourth quarter. They were begging for us to come back next week. I think my dad coming back for a playoff game, but, you know, I got to pay rent. But I'll be watching. So that's all I got to say. You know, I'm about to head back to Virginia in a little bit. So I'm going to talk to you tomorrow, Schmelt, Lance, Thursday. Talk to you both of y'all on Friday again. Give y'all some good game review, but it was a good game.
Isaac, I appreciate it, man.
One Boy, of he knows the schedule better than we do here.
I know, seriously. I guess he's not going to call on Wednesday when neither of us are here.
Exactly.
That was a shot. Why not? I don't care. Whatever. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Johnny Schmoke, Lance Meadow with you here on Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com. All right, Lance, how about Victor Cruz? I mean, my God. This is a guy who was a bubble player in training camp. If Dominic Hixon doesn't tear up his knee, there's a legit chance Victor Cruz gets slid onto the practice squad. Who knows who tries to claim around the NFL. There's a legit chance that happens.
And Zeke was also quick to remind us last week's show, also if Brandon Stokley doesn't hurt his hamstring. That's another guy to throw in there.
It's amazing. And without Victor Cruz this year, the Giants are not sniffing the postseason. They're not sniffing it. You agree?
Oh, I agree.
You nodding doesn't
waiting.
Really work well on the radio.
I was waiting. I was waiting where you were taking the sniffing part. I was going to see if you branched out a little bit more.
No.
In terms of your details, but I see. I fully get the
Without Victor
here.
Cruz, they don't make the playoffs. That's the point I'm trying to make. Your thoughts?
Very clear. Okay. Listen, I agree. Well, I mean, you can make the argument. And listen, the defense played outstanding last night, but what if Victor Cruz doesn't make the plays he did last night? You know, and it's a 21-14
exactly.
game. You know, who knows what Dallas is able to take advantage.
That play, Lance, I mean, we talked about it. Third down, the Cowboys have racked up 14 consecutive points. It's a one-score game. The stadium is silent. Giant fans are nervous. And
Zeke
rightfully
put his
so.
Shirt back on at that time. Okay.
Zeke had his shirt back on, all true. And Victor Cruz gets man-on-man coverage with Orlando Scandrick. Eli Manning does a great job avoiding the rushers. By the way, he did a fantastic job of that all night long. Great pocket awareness for Eli. He just throws it up there, trusts Victor Cruz to make a play. And why wouldn't you, considering the season he's had? And Victor Cruz beats Orlando Scandrick to the ball, catches it, first down, sets up a Giants field goal. That makes it a two-score game. And that was the beginning of the end for the Dallas Cowboys season.
You know, I don't know if there's anyone in the NFL right now that can honestly cover Victor Cruz man-on-man.
Doesn't seem like it, does it?
I mean, I'm trying to think. I mean, we're not going to basically break down the Atlanta Falcons today in terms of what their secondary presents, but nobody
jumps off.
I'm
not ready for that yet, Lance.
Nobody jumps off the page from that group or that cluster of players that can really, you know, line up with Victor Cruz and slow him down. And I think that's the biggest X factor for the Giants compared to what any other team could bring to the table in the playoffs. I don't know if there's another wide receiver that's got his type of speed and his big playmaking ability. Victor Cruz, the one thing he does week in and week out, John, he'll turn a short catch and he'll take it the distance. Yeah. And he won't even bat an eyelash doing it.
And Lance, the funny thing about it is, I believe in the combine when he was coming out, the knock to Victor Cruz is that he didn't have good enough speed. It shows that you don't have to run a 4.3. You just have to be faster than the guy covering you in pads.
And you got to be smart. Like you said, you know, he turned the corner. He didn't run out of bounds when he beat Terrence Newman. You know, take advantage of your opportunities. If you split the defense, keep running, you know, because you can make more happen. And clearly he's done that.
And how much has he made Eli Manning's numbers and stats look better from game to game this year? I mean, that is a 3-yard out for Eli Manning that turned into a 74-yard touchdown pass. Makes it a lot easier to play quarterback when your receivers make plays like that for you.
And also, there's question marks in the receiving core. Hakeem Nicks wasn't fully healthy. Mario Manningham wasn't fully healthy.
And Nicks didn't look right again.
Yeah, no Jake Ballard. You know, it's nice to have a guy that's healthy and can run with that type of explosiveness.
And Bear Pasco stepping in, had that great play hurdling Terrence Newman on a big third down on that Victor Cruz drive. Without that Bear Pasco play, the Victor Cruz long touchdown never happens because the Giants are punting the ball. So, again, it was a situation where the Giants made the plays when they had to make them. And, again, and I can't stress this enough, Lance. I mean, they had a couple of fumbles. None were lost. But, generally, they played a pretty clean game. There were no big mistakes. They didn't have a lot of big penalties except for the one,
I believe it was Thomas.
A false start early, and then Devin Thomas had the unnecessary roughness.
Yeah.
Exactly. But they played a clean game. And when you play clean games, they were plus two. Big surprise, plus two turns into a victory. And Giants won. They outplayed Dallas, and it wasn't close.
And they got great balance. They threw the ball 33 times, ran the ball 31 times. That's a 50-50 split. That's what you want every single game. We've been talking about it on this show. You don't want Eli Manning, no matter how good he's been, to put the ball in the air 45 to 50 times.
And I realize they had 106 rushing yards. I was not happy with the rushing attack. That's just me.
First half, I was. I thought Bradshaw ran with some intensity. Second half, it completely dropped off.
Well, Bradshaw had that 129-yard run. You take that away, he's 15 for 38. That's not great. Jacobs just 7 for 16. DJ Ware had that one long run for 19 yards. I thought the running game could have been more consistent.
I can't blame it on the offensive line, though. To be honest with you, I think it was the decision-making of the running backs yesterday.
I saw a couple times Bradshaw and Jacobs did not follow their blockers. Well, I don't disagree with
that. Bradshaw was doing a little dancing east to west, and Jacobs one time literally ran into the back of David Bass.
Okay, I want to get to the defense in a second. I want to go back to the phones first, because Nate's in New Jersey. He wants to talk about Victor Cruz. What's up, Nate?
Hi. How are you, man?
Good morning.
First time caller, you guys are great. I listened to you on the show last night on the web. Enjoyed it fully, better than the television set commentary. But my point on this particular phone call is today is without Victor Cruz, we would have made the playoffs. He's a humble player. He's surprised that he made the team even after he got hurt with the Jets last year, and I think he appreciates it that the Giants organization kept him around. To see what would become of him. And I think that he's playing with his full heart and head. Good point what you guys brought up because, you know, he doesn't just catch the ball and run. He's thinking about where he is and where everybody else is on the field, and he applies that.
Yep.
Without Victor Cruz, we don't go anywhere this year.
Yeah. I mean, it really is. It's hard to imagine how well this team would perform if Victor Cruz is not in the equation. And what makes his story even more stunning is what John alluded to and touched on earlier, is the fact that, you know, Dominic Hixon doesn't get hurt this season. You know, then they bring in Brandon Stokley. Stokley doesn't get hurt. I'm not so sure that Victor Cruz is even seeing the time of day on the football field this season. Okay? You know, the Giants don't have that type of track record to begin with where they're all of a sudden going to throw a young guy in who hasn't had that many reps into the mix and appreciate the phone call. So, you know, that's what really, you know, brings Victor Cruz to the forefront, not just on the Giants team, but in the entire NFL. What he has been able to do with his opportunity. You know, not a lot of players take advantage of limited playing time, and Victor Cruz has really risen to the occasion. And that says a lot about him both on and off the field. And I like what the caller just touched on, the fact that, you know, he is somewhat modest, John. He doesn't have that modest ego.
Great kid.
You know, he doesn't have that bravado. Yes, he does the salsa dancing after the touchdown, but that's minor.
You know, that isn't to me rubbing it in. That's fun.
Yeah.
That's okay. I don't have a problem with that either. You know what I mean?
By the way, what did you think of LaRon Robinson's attempt to mimic the little salsa dance?
I didn't even notice it, to be honest with you.
Well, somebody called on last night's postgame show and asked me. I mean, I said it was no big deal, but LaRon Robinson tried to, you know, showcase his dance moves a little bit.
Well, someone did that a few weeks ago. Des Bryant did it in the first game, right? Against the Giants, he did a little salsa dance, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. It was not very well done, from what I understand.
So apparently Victor Cruz needs to run a seminar to other wide receivers out there to show them how to properly celebrate after you get in the end zone.
I want to get back to the calls in just a second, but the one thing we haven't really touched on much, Lance, and really I thought this was really, the difference of the game, the pass rush. The pass rush was back, and OC made a difference. He had that one big sack. Granted, you know, no one really tried to block him on the play, so I can't give him that much credit. He basically had a straight line on the stunt of the quarterback. But, again, you're stunting him and Justin Tuck, two really good pass rushers all of a sudden. Who do I block? And that puts pressure on the offensive line. And when you have all four of those guys, you saw it. Pierre Paul, Tuck, Kiwanuka, Umanura, all blitzing on third down. It creates havoc. In that first half, Tony Romo, hand or not, quote-unquote choke or not, he didn't have a chance to make any plays throwing the football. The Giants' defensive line controlled that entire first half, just dominated the Cowboys' offensive line from start to finish, and they stopped the run. They did both in the same game, which is huge.
Felix Jones, Sammy Morris, non-factors. And that was huge because it basically put the offense on the shoulders of Tony Romo, and the Giants said, you know what, Dallas? If you're going to beat us, Tony Romo is going to have to make throws down the field, and he's going to have to do it while he's running for his life. And Romo, yeah, that play where he went past the line of scrimmage, tremendous credit you got to give
him. It was like a movie.
I mean, that was amazing.
It was like a movie or a video game.
And if you're the Cowboys' offensive line last night, I mean, it's got to be so frustrating. You know, Jason Pierre-Paul's coming at you. You block him.
They actually did a good job on Pierre-Paul last night. Believe it or not, he didn't do a whole lot.
Then Justin Tuck's coming towards you.
Yeah,
you block him. But then you got to account for OC, and you got to account for Kiwi, and you got to account for Jaquan Williams, who had a sack too. You know, it was a machine that just never let up and never stopped. And that was not apparent throughout the course of this season.
Well, now everyone's healthy finally. Justin Tuck looks like his old self. OC Manure's back on the field. And what always made the Giants' defense special, and I hate to reference the Super Bowl run because it was so long ago, but what did propel them to that, and I'm not trying to compare the two teams, was the pass rush. It's the difference maker. You get pressure on the quarterback, all of a sudden your secondary looks a whole lot better. And if this pass rush can continue to get that sort of pressure over the course of an entire football game, this Giants team can beat anybody.
Yeah. You know, I mean, the secondary is not going to be running around for its life. That's what happened in the first meeting with the Cowboys. Romo got enough time in the pocket to make throws down the field because there was no pass rush. And guys like Antrell Roll and Deion Grant need to be in their correct gaps. They can't be looking at each other. That's what was happening. That was the big difference, the pass rush. You hit it right on the nose. And if that continues to be a big presence, you're right. This is a very dangerous team that most offenses don't want to see.
Hey, you saw it in the second half. When the Giants didn't get pass rush, what happened? Tony Romo was throwing the ball up and down the field all game long.
And that brings me to a concern here. I don't want to be a downer somewhat, but you know I love setting that trend.
Where's Vinny in Pennsylvania?
maybe that's one. I'm bringing Vinny out of the woodworks. I'm waiting for his phone call. But this is the one concern I have, which I think can counter the Giants' pass rush, and I'm curious your thoughts. When the Cowboys went to a no-huddle offense, it seemed that really threw the Giants off guard defensively.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it was a no-huddle that did it. Maybe they just blocked it up better, but you're right. When the Cowboys did go to that little muddle-huddle, hurry-up, no-huddle offense, the Giants did not seem to get the same out of pass pressure. Whether that's cause and effect, I don't know. But you're right. In the second half, when the Giants, with the Cowboys, were pretty much no huddle the entire second half, the Giants did not get a lot of pressure.
And that is a trend because going back earlier in the season, remember that Rams game when that whole issue about them falling without anybody knocking them down because they needed to stop that no huddle offense because Sam Bradford was moving the ball up and down the field.
And of course, the Packers do that a lot. And the Giants will see the Packers if they can beat the Falcons next week. That's who the Giants will play. Assuming, of course, the Lions don't go into New Orleans and beat the Saints, which I would be super shocked at. I think, you know, the Saints at home, they're virtually impossible to beat down there. But
it's good that they play in a dome. I mean, that at least helps out the Lions.
Yeah, so the Giants at the Falcons next week. Then they got to go to Green Bay if they beat Atlanta. And Atlanta's going to be a tough game.
It is.
Their offense is just as dangerous as Dallas's. Their defense probably a little bit more fundamentally sound.
A little bit.
though they don't have the same amount of pass rushers and pass pressure the Cowboys can get with DeMarcus Ware. But, again, that'll be a very interesting game next week. Roddy White and Julio Jones are just as good, if not better, than the wide receivers Dallas have. So the Giants' defensive line, once again, Lance, will have to be getting to the Matt Ryan and making him uncomfortable.
Yeah, you don't want him to have an opportunity to make plays down the field. You just alluded to the two top receivers. They also got Tony Gonzalez, who, even at his age, is still making plays. And Michael Turner is a workhorse. I mean, he's the type of guy that, you know, two defenders could jump on his back, and he could still take you for an additional 5 yards.
Brandon Jacobs-esque in terms of his power and being able to push the defense. And don't forget Harry Douglas, brother to Nick, I'm not going to call him a point guard. That's a disservice to point guards everywhere. But Nick's guard, Tony Douglas.
Maybe Tony's going to give Harry some tips in terms of how to utilize maybe some basketball maneuvers if they want to get around that Giants pass rush. But I don't know if Tony's going to help the cause anyway. But you're right. Harry Douglas, let's not forget the unsung hero of the Atlanta Falcons this season.
201-939-4513. I've let him stand hold a little bit. I've let him marinate in the show. I'm sure he's still very excited. I'm sure he called up last night and gave
exactly
a dissertation on the game. I'm sure he's taking a deep breath. He's gathered himself. He's very excited. He's called all his coworkers this morning. He has the entire state of Texas trying to find them and punish him for the Giants' victory last night. And that's Victor down in Texas. Good morning, Victor.
Hey, good morning, guys. No, you're actually right. You know, me and Lance did talk last night, and I did have, you know, a night to marinate on it, and I watched the game again, and I actually looked at it, and I said to myself, Eli Manning is a really, really good quarterback.
Yes, he is.
The pocket presence he had last night was amazing. I mean, if you looked at that game last night, Eli Manning ran more than I've ever seen him run before, and for positive yards, too. I mean, the guy had good decision-making. And a lot of the plays that I watched where, you know, guys weren't there, usually Eli would get sacked on that play. He threw the ball away. You know, it was just very good to see. And also watching the defense, a couple of things stuck out to me, and that was Corey Webster. Now, Corey Webster's going up against Dez Bryant. Typically, when you're playing against a guy like that, you want to jam that receiver. I didn't see Corey Webster do a lot of jamming, which he got beat off the line of scrimmage. You don't want to get beat off the line of scrimmage by a fast receiver. And next week, we got fast receivers. We're going to play against Roddy White. We're going to be playing against Julio Jones. And you can't get beat off the line of scrimmage. I like to see these guys jam at the line because that jam, you know, it's going to throw off the timing. And when you throw off that timing with a quarterback and a wide receiver, that's when the pass rush is at its best because it gives us that extra time. And I don't know, you know, if it's the pass rush that helps out the back end or the back end helps out the pass rush. I think they both coincide with each other.
Of course they do.
You got to have a little bit of both. And yesterday is, you know, it was basically, you know, the Giants secondary played very well, very well. They stifled Tony Romo, which gave them that extra time to get to the quarterback. But looking at this game next week, I mean, I see Matt Ryan, and I mean, you guys hit it right on the point. You know, the Giants kind of lose focus, or, you know, can't keep up when a team goes into the hurry-up. And if you look at Atlanta, they are running that hurry-up very, very well. And that's something that's scary to me because this team is very athletic. They don't get winded, and they keep moving the ball. Once they start up real fast, it's hard to stop them. And plus, you got, you know, Michael Turner. I looked at Michael Turner's tape, and this guy broke so many tackles yesterday. His legs are enormous. I mean, he's got a low center of gravity, and the guy is very bulky. So we got to wrap up. A premium next week is tackling. Finish your tackling. You're not going to blow him up. You're not going to get that big blow-up shot on him. So, Antrell, if you're out there, just wrap this guy up and bring him down because the guy got tree trunk legs. And Tony Gonzalez, I mean, this guy, you know, he's a Hall of Famer for a reason. I mean, he runs crisp routes, and I think our linebackers are going to be in for it. You know, we got to watch the tape on this guy. And special teams, I mean, they got that Jaquizz Rodgers kid back there. They might throw him back on special teams. We got to stop that special teams from getting on the board at all. The kicking game last
Victor, wait,
yesterday.
I got to stop you there. You didn't mention Harry Douglas here. Come on, Victor. You got to give us some scouting report on Harry Douglas. Let's not overlook the obvious.
Hey, he's actually a very good slot receiver, Lance. Don't sleep on Harry Douglas here.
No, I get your point. I mean, it's just the same thing with us right now. Victor Cruz is – I mean, everybody's going to be looking at Victor Cruz right now, and that's going to leave other guys open. I mean, if Ramsey Barden was playing, you know, he would be that hot guy because, you know, you got Roddy White and Julio Jones, and they're going to get most of the attention. And Harry Douglas might be the hero next week, and who knows? But, you know, everybody's got to step up. And I'm looking for us to, you know, run the ball next week. I want to see us run the ball a little harder because I want to keep Matt Ryan and that quick strike offense off the field. And I just want to say it was a great win. I look forward to it again next week. Let's keep this going. We're all in, baby, all in.
All right, Victor, appreciate the phone call. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. You can also send in your questions or comments on Twitter, #GiantsChat, #GiantsChat. One thing I want to piggyback off of what Victor said about how it's important for Brandon Jacobs and Ahmad Bradshaw to set the tempo on the ground next week against the Falcons. Looking at the numbers here, Atlanta actually is very good against the run. They've got the sixth best rushing defense in the league. They're allowing just around 97 yards per game in the regular season. So, you know, their pass rush, yes, not as dangerous as the Cowboys, but their linebacker core is pretty strong. They got a guy named John Abraham who's very familiar with the New York metropolitan area from his time with the Jets, and they have the ability to really clog those lanes. So rushing the ball is going to be a huge challenge. And if they can't, And if they get the type of production that they got yesterday, which was mixed somewhat, you know, obviously the pressure falls back on Eli Manning to have to make plays down the field. And you don't want to become a one-dimensional offense. It has not proven very well for the Giants throughout the course of this season.
Hey, again, Lance, when you have to throw the ball every down, things are going to happen. Look at Tony Romo. They were down 21-0 in that game yesterday. He had to go in there and throw pretty much every time down. What happens? Roll makes a great play, one of his best plays there. He also played one of his better games of the year, by the way. Made a couple good open field tackles, also had the interception. He picks off Romo, and then Tuck gets the sack and the fumble because the Cowboys had to abandon the run because, A, they were down, and quite frankly, the Giants did a good job stifling their run game all game long. When you become one-dimensional, that's when mistakes happen.
And you become predictable on offense. Defenses are no longer honest. They know what to expect. You want to keep them on their toes.
201-939-4513. Joe's down in Virginia. Good morning, Joe.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, listen, man, I'm really impressed with the way those guys came out and played. They nicked up. They hurt. And they left it down on the field. They did a good job. I'm excited for Victor Cruz, and all I got to say is all you fans out there that still got them Jeremy Shockey jerseys, hey, change the name on it. That's all. Just change the name on it. That's all I got to say.
Hey, appreciate it.
Get those Travis Beckham jerseys ready.
Who wore 47 before?
That's a good question.
And nobody.
Yeah.
So what are you talking about?
Well, I'm just saying, from a tight end perspective.
Oh, you're going the tight end
angle.
I was going there.
That angle.
Boy, how about Bear Pascoe with the hurdles? I'd rather get the Bear Pascoe jersey than the Travis Beckham jersey.
7-yard catch yesterday.
How about his great fumble recovery attempt?
Hey, that's Travis Beckham. He's always good for some type of highlight.
Oh, that
each and every game.
Highlight.
We'll
sure.
leave it at that.
201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Mike is in North Bergen. What's up, Mike?
Yo, happy New Year's, fellas.
You too, Mike.
Check this out, man. We got a big blue new year and a new season for Big Blue, the New York Football Giants. Let's go get that chip, baby. Let's bring it back to Dirty Jersey, man. And yo, Schmelk, I just got a couple shout-outs I want to make, if you don't mind.
What do you got? Go ahead, Mike.
All right, first and foremost, I just want to give a shout-out to my fellow Puerto Rican brother, Victor Cruz. You already know what it is with him. My number two shout-out is going to be to my boy JPP. We already know what he can bring to the table.
And
I think
he's
going to give the Falcons a lot of problems this year. My third shout-out is going to go to Tom Coughlin. Besides what the media has been saying, chewing his ass out year in and year out about the second half collapses and whatnot, he still sticks it through. He's a tough-nosed coach. You know, the players respect him. We love him. So that's all that counts. And last but not least, I just got to give a big blue shout-out to the big blue fans out there because we believe in our team, and hopefully we get far this year. That's all I got to say, Schmoke.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it, brother. I want to no shout-out to Lance Meadow, though.
I know, yeah. He certainly forgot somebody on the list, but it's okay. We'll let it slide.
You'll let it slide?
Yes. You know, it's understandable. Mike's on a big high this morning, given the fact that they won the NFC East title. Next week, if he pulls that again, you know, then we may need to give him a slap on the wrist.
And quite clearly, I think, all that speculation in the media about Tom Coughlin possibly not having a job next year, you could probably flush that down the toilet, please. Stop talking about it. I'm begging you.
Well, I mean, and even
Stop wasting everyone's time.
And it goes even further regarding the coaching staff. And maybe that's premature to bring up, but the bottom line is Perry Field's gotten this defense to really rise up the last 2 weeks. That says a lot, given all the injuries and all the shuffling of players. Clearly, when this team is 100%, John, it's 10 times better than it is where it was a couple of weeks ago.
I was going to say, it's amazing how much better a defensive coordinator looks when he has all his great pass rushers on the defensive line coming after the quarterback, isn't it?
And he could get maybe Mark Herzlich back this week, potentially. But, you know, listen, the more weapons you have, regardless of whether he's going to play 5 snaps or 10 snaps, you get more versatility and movement. And when you've got a lot of pass rushers that you can move and match on the line, if you have that luxury in the linebacker core, you know, that's a huge positive because that's your second layer of defense. Just like you wish you had a couple of more guys you could throw out in the secondary, but unfortunately, that's the one area that they've been decimated so much by injuries.
Back to the phones at 201-939-4513. Zach is up in Connecticut. Good morning, Zach.
Morning. Happy New Year to you. I just wanted to say that Giants, all they needed to do was win those two games against the Jets and the Cowboys, and they did that thing. And out of all the injuries that they had this season, you know, Coughlin never told them to quit. They stick through the season, and now they're the NFC division champions.
Hey, Zach, you're 100% right. And big picture-wise, you're right. Before this season, you looked at the schedule, you figured 8-8, you know, top out at 9-7. You know, if things don't go right in a few games, maybe 7-9. And big picture-wise, it's an accomplishment. Terrell Thomas, Witherspoon, Bruce Johnson, Jonathan Goff.
Clint Sintem.
Tuck's been out, in and out all year. Brandon Stokley, as Melroy mentioned. OC's been in out of the lineup. He had the holdout. Then he had the high ankle sprain. I mean, the list.
Dominic Kixon.
Prince of Mukamura missed the first half of the year. The first round pick. Marvin Austin. Nobody talks about second round pick. He missed the entire year with the injury. Michael Coe ended up breaking his arm late in the season. David Boss was in and out of the lineup
Bradshaw.
Over the course of the year. William Beattie, your starting left tackle, is on IR. Bradshaw.
David Boss.
I mean, Stacey Edge is another guy. Look, it's a long list, folks. That's the point. It's a pretty nice accomplishment that this team persevered, overcame all those injuries, and they're in the spot that they're in. And that really does say something. 201-939-4513. Howard is in Randolph, New Jersey. Good morning, Howard.
Hey, good morning. I am hoarse from last night's game. Wonderful victory. It's amazing what a defensive line can do to cover up some inconsistencies.
Isn't it?
Pass rush was amazing. The game was great. My topic, though, is the O-line. You know, I have been a big watcher of what goes on up front, and this kid, Mitch Petras, should be starting. There were a couple of times when it was 4th-and-1 or 3rd-and-1, and, you know, people are on Jacobs or Bradshaw for not being able to push the pile. But, you know, there was no explosion in the Giant offensive line on those short yardage downs. Ratliff and DeMarcus beating the Giants. And I just think while Booth may be a smart player and a good guy, he doesn't have the physical presence that Mitch Petras does. I think that Petras needs to start at guard if you want to have a point of attack. He reminds me of a Richie Seibert type guy that is just tough and physical and big and young. He pulls with authority. He really can move the line. If the Giants want to go into the playoffs and establish a running game, I think they've got to make a change there. I mean, Eli, they have been riding on his arm. Amazing throws. That one, that 44-yarder to Cruz was really a prayer, and Cruz made a great play on
yep.
the ball. But unless you're able to keep the other defense honest and run a little bit, you're going to have trouble with these better, defensive lines. Anyway.
Howard, you're right.
That's the point I wanted to make.
Hey, Howard, it's a great call, and you got to run the ball better as you get into the postseason. We've been lucky. We've had 40-degree weather, 50-degree weather. The rain stopped after about a quarter, I guess, in the game yesterday. The weather's been great, and you can get away with, chucking around the football field. Eventually, you're going to have to be able to run the ball with some type of consistency, and the Giants have not been able to do that this season for any type of extended period of time, a game here or there, but they got to get more consistent on the ground.
And it could get much colder this weekend. The temperatures are supposed to dip this week here in the New York
really,
metropolitan
Mr.
area.
Really, Mr. Roker?
Absolutely, yes. The jet stream is coming in from the north and the south. I mean, we're
a little northeaster, perhaps?
Oh, perhaps. I mean, listen, I'm willing to predict just about anything. But getting back to a more serious nature at this point.
I'm willing to predict just about anything. Do you know what that tells you? Don't trust Lance Meadows' predictions.
Well, listen, I am not making bold statements about the weather here on Giants.com. But you're right. You know, they do need to be able to rely on the ground game, which probably has been the most up and down facet of this team in terms of getting any type of consistency. There's been games where they've run for over 100 yards because Petras was at guard and Booth was at center. You know, they've had some mixing and matching on the offensive line. But, to get back to the caller's point, I don't see them making any changes to the offensive line. I don't see them, benching Boss, moving Booth back to center, and inserting Petras back at left guard. I mean, it's wishful thinking, and you're right. They did run the ball effectively when that was the alignment, but at the end of the day, Boss is healthy, and they like him back at the center spot.
Early look at the weather. It's supposed to get cold tomorrow, actually, high of 29 degrees, then high of 32 on Wednesday, so bundle up, folks. It's going to get chilly. But by next weekend, Saturday, high of 52. Sunday, high of 48. Both days mostly sunny and mostly cloudy. Should be beautiful.
Well, there you go. Ideal weather. And that also, you could say, also helps
the Falcons.
Your predictions
are terrible.
Well, are the temperatures not dipping over the next couple of days, which is what I hinted at? I did not look that far ahead, okay? My model does not predict the weekend. Your model does a better job predicting the weekend.
Yes,
my model does.
My great model called weather.com, folks. It's
tremendous.
A great model,
the resources on the internet these
201-939-4513.
Days.
201-939-4513. John's down in Atlantic City. Good morning, John. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. Good morning to you, gentlemen.
Good morning.
I wanted to talk about our special team.
Go ahead.
Special teams. I live in Atlantic City. It's Eagle Country down here. I had a good time this year being able to shut their mouths up down here.
Yep.
Our special teams. Nobody really talks about our special teams, man. Last year, our special teams was bad. Like, this year, they're, like, consistent. They've been tackling. They've been playing hard, and you can see that the only time they even drove the ball down, they were always, now this is 20 or 15. They got lucky yesterday when we had that penalty and they had to go in and score, you know, like 20 yards. But so what? You know, our special teams, you got to really give them credit.
Yeah, I mean, the coverage yesterday and just how they pinned Dallas back. You look at where the Cowboys had to start their drives. I mean, the first one right out of the gate started at their own 26, then their own 32, the 18. They were pinned back in between the 10 at one point. You know, in terms of the starting field position, I can't really point to one drive other than the one that they were pretty much aided by that Devin Thomas penalty and the bad punt by Weatherford, where they pretty much had a gift-wrapped opportunity right outside the red zone. You know, Dallas had to put together, you know, 70 to 80 yard drives, which they did in the first meeting, but they were not able to duplicate that type of production yesterday.
Yeah, and look, the Giants made plays on special teams. The Cowboys didn't. It looked like Alan Ball had a great play, downing the ball at the 5-yard line, but he stepped out of bounds and he touched the ball legally. So, again, one team made plays, the other one didn't. I still think, in terms of talent, these two teams are probably very similar. But this one day, the Giants played a lot better than the Cowboys did, and they won. As you look back now, Dallas probably missed their chance to beat the Giants down in Dallas a few weeks ago when they played probably better than the Giants did, but the Giants made the plays when they had to at the end of the game to win it. And in this game, the Giants just made more plays, folks. It's that simple. 201-939-4513. Our pal Jeff's up in Rhode Island. Good morning, Jeff.
Hi, good morning, guys. Listen, that was a very splendid win last night. I mean, I just can't get enough of it when I see the look of dismay on Jerry Jones's face. It's such a beautiful thing. But
they had a great shot on NBC last night, Jeff, him having his head in his hands during that first half. It was pretty funny.
Well, wait till next year, pal. Victor Cruz, what a revelation. I mean, he seems such a nice young man, and he's so well-grounded, and he's so humble, and I think, like, he really appreciates, you know, what's going on with him. And I thought of a little nickname for him this morning. I think we're going to call him the Singular Man. What do you think?
Can you describe why he is the Singular Man?
Well,
Jeff does not want to describe why Victor Cruz is the Singular Man.
Well, I mean, I guess it's because maybe at times he's been pretty much a one-man show and has really given this offense a lift. So I see that connection somewhat. But perhaps Jeff could give us a little bit more detail, and that would provide more insight.
Jeff is still riding his high from
on the
whole
Travis Beckham,
the IAT. Play, which, you know, that was a great nickname. The Singular Man, I think he can do better.
I'm a little impressed by your, criticism here, because usually it's all towards me,
well,
but now it's nice to see that you're throwing it elsewhere when it comes to naming plays and nicknames.
Jeff's one of our best callers. I have high regard for his Giants knowledge and his ability to name stuff. The Travis Beckham name was one of the best things on this show all year long, but I think he can do better than the Singular Man. I'm going to send Jeff back to the drawing board. We're going to see if he can come up with something a little bit better next time he calls in. I have faith in Jeff. More faith than I have in you.
I was waiting for that line, so I'm glad you came through with that.
So the play you're going to name this week.
Oh, you got a play for me already. Yeah. All right, what's my homework assignment?
Okay, your homework assignment this week. Should I have him name the first Victor Cruz catch and run, or should I have him name the one on Skandrick in the fourth quarter to really turn the game back around? What do you think? The second one? I agree. All right. Cruz man-on-man, and this is an emblematic play that they've used all year long. Cruz in man-to-man coverage, he's covered. Eli just throws it up, trust him. He beats the cornerback, makes the play. That's what I need you to come up with. It doesn't necessarily, Lancey, have to be related to this individual play, but that type of scenario, I want a name for that play that the Giants like to go to Cruz in man-on-man.
Okay.
You got it?
I've got it. I've taken my mental notes.
Be ready on Friday. Chris in New York. Chris, good morning.
Yes, hi. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year.
I think the reason why we won last night is because we knew that if we lost this game, maybe Tom Coughlin's job would be gone, because that would be the second year in a row we wouldn't make the playoffs. And just that's really it. I mean, we won because we didn't quit, and I just think we're the better team. And in the division, that's why we won.
Hey, Chris, there's no doubt. The Giants are better than the Dallas Cowboys. They're better. They beat them twice this year. They beat them convincingly in the second game. They had a great comeback in game number one. There's no other argument to make. The Giants are the better team. Do I think that the team played better because they thought perhaps their coach might have been in trouble? For one, I don't think the coach was in trouble, for one. I'm not sitting up there in any meetings. Believe me, they're not that dumb. But, but look, I don't think that's the reason the team played well. I think they understood the scenario in terms of heading into the postseason and what was at stake, division rival, and the players are ready to go. I don't think any false belief that they were saving their head coach's job had anything to do with it.
But players have hinted that they're willing to play for Tom Coughlin.
Well, Ante Rose said it last night in the postgame locker room.
And that says a lot. And that also gets back to the point that John Mara brought up last year when they said they were going to bring Tom Coughlin back. He said, the biggest thing I see is the players still respond to Tom Coughlin.
They don't quit.
And that was a sign that he didn't need to make a coaching change. And clearly down the stretch, you know, regardless of their ups and downs and when they hit that slide, whatever Coughlin's message was to the players, they responded in crunch time here after a tough loss to the Redskins. Coughlin made it clear, guys, you still control your own destiny. You win these next two games, you're in the playoffs. And they rose to the occasion.
201-939-4513. Will is out in Ohio. Good morning, Will.
How you guys doing?
Doing well, Will. Good morning.
Good. I just want to make a couple comments. What do you think about OC's unselfishness to play left end? I haven't seen OC line up at left end ever.
Hey, I think it's great.
You know, however,
well, honestly, I think it's fantastic. In the locker room last week, he said, I don't care if I start. Jason Pierre-Paul has earned that right to start at that right end position, and OC took a back seat. He did what was best for the team, and I think you saw that pay off yesterday in that game where that pass rush with all those different guys all lined up together all did a fantastic job, and give OC credit for that. You know, he's had the holdout issues in the past, which, you know, a lot of people would consider selfish, and frankly, rightfully so. You don't show up because you're not happy with the contract that you signed. That's a selfish move. But he did the unselfish thing this week, and I think it really paid dividends for the team.
Great, great. And a concern of mine is Boss. I don't think he is quite reacclimated himself to the offensive line. From the play that I've witnessed, he gets stood up at the line a lot. You know, there's no push. You know, I want to piggyback off of the last caller when he was stating that Petras, you know, there's more fight. It's not just more fight in Petras. He gets movement off the ball. You know, Booth, I think he plays center better than guard. However, the passing game sputters at times. We really need to depend on the running game. And if we're only getting 2-3 yards of pop, Jacob running into the back of Boss, which, you know, not Boss, I think it was
No, it was Boss.
He ran in the back of Boss, yep.
It was Boss?
Yeah, it was Boss.
He ran in the back of him. Yep.
I mean, I worried the guy's back. I'm like, wow, Jacob's just plowed into his back, you know, with his head down. You know, it's just a concern of mine that when you get into the playoffs and you're going against better secondaries, you have to rely on your running game at some point, you know. So also, what do you think about the Giants drafting a linebacker in the first round now that Jaquan Williams has emerged? What I mean from that is, like, his play has been really great. He's been a real, you know, solid cog back there with alongside Boley. I prefer Boley and Jaquan Williams at linebacker and have our Kiwi, Tuck, JPP, Linville Joseph, you know, Omenyoro rushing the quarterback. What do you think about that?
Well, I think a lot is going to determine on how well Jonathan Goff and guys like Clint Sintem return and where they are heading into, you know, training camp and even some off-season workouts, because, you know, you've got a lot of guys that got hurt early in the season, and that's why the rookies were thrown into the mix. That's why it's really hard to gauge where they'll go come the draft.
Oh,
and it
no
also depends on who's on the board and
always,
who's available at
the
that
The Giants
time.
Always yeah. do one thing, and that's best player available,
exactly.
regardless of position. If there's a great linebacker they think can help right away, they'll draft him. But if there's a great defensive end they think can rush the passer, they'll draft them. It's all a matter of who's on the board. Exactly. I mean, you can't predict now where the Giants are going to go in the draft. And, Will, thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it. Tuning out the really big show, instead tuning into Giants.com instead, we appreciate that out in Ohio. We have good friends that do some shows out there in Cleveland. Clearly, they've made the wise decision. 201-939-4513. We're going to go all the way out to Japan.
Wow.
And say hello to Hector. Hector, good morning out there, or good evening? What is it?
Yeah, good evening. It's actually good evening right here right now.
What's up, Hector? Go ahead. Thanks for calling, by the way.
Hey, yeah, I just wanted to talk about how the Giants had overcome adversity. Like, especially in the beginning of the season, there was injuries and a lot of naysayers. And also, OC's contract dispute. So I was just, like, really bummed out about that. And looking at their schedule, they had a really tough schedule. So I'm so glad that we beat the Cowboys. And I don't see the Cowboys doing what we did to the Green Bay Packers, you know? So I'm really excited because I know we're a better team.
Oh, by the way, Hector, you can send that long-distance phone bill to Lance Meadow at the Timex Performance Center, okay?
Yeah, just bill it. Put it on my tab.
Yeah.
I'll take care of it. All right, Hector, appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much. Glad you could follow us overseas in Japan as we...
We're international.
Clearly, yeah, we're you know, raising the stakes here on Giants.com, reaching out far and far away.
Yeah, he's right. I mean, look, and I'll make this point again. I made it before. I'll make it again. The way the Giants rushed the passer yesterday, I don't care who the opposing quarterback is, if it's Drew Brees, if it's Aaron Rodgers, if it's Tom Brady. If you get that sort of consistent pressure on the quarterback, they can't succeed. Matt Ryan, too. And then he comes to town next week, and then you're going to have to deal with Aaron Rodgers if you win that game. If this defensive line can continue to play that way, all bets are off.
And early in the season, the Falcons' offensive line had trouble protecting Matt Ryan.
They
certainly worked out the kinks throughout the season, but, you know, it was an issue. And if the Giants' pass rush can take advantage of certain holes or weaknesses on that front, you know, I don't see why they can't have the same success they had against this Cowboys offensive line. But you're right. You know, this team is going to be very dangerous with that pass rush. Compared to the other defenses that are heading to the playoffs, you know, this is hard for me to even say, but you can make the argument that the Giants are one of the strongest defensive units still out there. I mean, let's face the facts.
You're right.
The Packers, tremendous question marks.
Oh, huge.
They're going to get into offensive shootouts, and they're going to have to hope that Aaron Rodgers can overcome all their defensive deficiencies.
Same deal for the Saints.
Lions, major issues in their secondary.
No question.
I like their front group, but I don't like their secondary.
I mean, in the NFC, the best defense left, and it's not even close, is the 49ers. They have one of the best defenses in the NFL, but you're right. If you take all the defenses left in the playoff after that, you might take the Giants.
And then I'd say the Falcons is a close third. I mean,
yeah.
in terms of the rankings.
You might be right.
Yeah. I mean, Packers, Saints, and Lions, I mean, you could pretty much throw them at the bottom of the barrel.
And I know it sounds crazy because the Giants all year have been ranked between like 30th and 32nd, but with all these pass rushers back in the mix, you got to like what you see.
But it also gets back to it's all about momentum, John. You know, the teams that have had success in the playoffs, and I'm not predicting here a long run, but history has shown that the ones that catch fire towards the end of the year wind up using that momentum and riding it through the postseason. The Packers are probably the best example, the most recent example. Look at what they did last year. They needed big wins down the stretch just to get into the playoffs, and they beat the Giants at home convincingly, and then they won another big game against the Bears at home where they were fighting off the Giants for that final playoff spot. And then they go into Philly, a big playoff win, and from that point on, they ride the momentum all the way to the Super Bowl.
You're right. Yeah, and look, it's right now, the momentum's certainly flying the Giants' way. No doubt about it. All right, folks, we got about 4 minutes left in the show, but you keep calling. We're going to keep going. All right? So keep the lines going. Right now, they're full. We're going to start going through the phone calls a little bit quicker now. So make sure you hit those phones, get on the line, and we'll take your calls right here on Giants.com at 201-939-4513. 4513. Mr. Negative here is about to get his comeuppance from Vinny.
Here we go.
In Pennsylvania, fellow little guy. What's up, Vinny?
Boom. What I say, boys, keep it positive. Playoff time. You know what I mean?
I hear you, Vin.
Here you go. You ready?
Let's do it.
NFC champs, yup, I'm amped. The whole city's doing the salsa dance.
Not bad.
You know me. I'm down with JPP. Eli Manning's our MVP. With TD passes galore, I'm going to have to buy a vintage jacket from the New York Giants official online store. Justin Tuck gets much respect, so what's next? Giants always on time. You know why, Lance?
Why is that?
Because we wear Timex. That's the New York Giants.
Oh, he's getting creative
Wow,
here.
Vinny.
Stepping up his game.
Wow, and then he just hangs up.
Wow.
Vinny's done.
Boy.
He's going off on a high note. Vinny just threw the mic down on the stage and walked off. That was Vinny's best rhyme of the year, and it wasn't close.
Well, and listen, everybody's stepping up their game.
They are. I wonder if Vinny sat there like the first 45 minutes of the show trying to figure out that best rhyme. But, you know, it was worth the wait. That was excellent.
It was. Yeah. That spiced things up here.
And even included you in the song.
Yeah, threw a little question my way. Getting some notice?
Your timing was a little off, though. I got on.
Well, yeah, I wasn't anticipating it. So, you know, I had to wait. He kept me on my toes.
You always had to be ready, Lance.
Oh, and especially when Vinny calls.
Tom Kampf will be very disappointed in your inability to focus throughout the entire show.
Well, clearly he listens to the show.
Mike in North Carolina. What's up, Mike? I still have a job. It's clearly he doesn't. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Just want to say I'm a first-time caller, so.
Appreciate it, Mike. Keep it coming.
Hey, I got a question for you guys. I know that our defense is a powerhouse. We've been plagued by injuries pretty much all year. I noticed yesterday when we're up 21-0, still first half. However, Justin Tuck walked off the field like he's got a broken arm. I don't know what happened, but
it's stinger. It looked like, yeah.
You think with all these injuries, if we're up 21-0, why wouldn't we want to save Tuck for the playoffs?
Well, wait a minute. Don't go that far.
You can't be pulling people at 21-0 at the half, my friend. It was 21-14 with the beginning of the fourth quarter, and Giant fans are sweating bullets as the Cowboys are going down the field here. Let's not start pulling players at 21-0. You got to get into the playoffs. You worry about injuries later.
All right, I didn't look at it that way, but I'm just sick of all the injuries, guys.
I understand that, but you can't afford to rest, guys. That was a playoff game last night.
Yeah, Dennis is right. Yesterday was a – it's no saving guys for the playoffs. That was what you were saving them for. It was a playoff game.
Yeah. I mean, if you can't step up and play through injury in that game, then you don't belong on the football field. And they just got OC back, so it was a bonus. You want at least to throw and mix and match everybody to see what this pass rush is capable of. And Mike, appreciate the phone call. Mike, a first-time caller, trying to, you know, test us here with his first call. But, you know, you just can't afford to rest people. It's the same philosophy about when they played the Packers, right? And there was, what, a minute and 15 seconds left on the clock, and you want to run the football so you can run more time off the clock so you don't give Green Bay the football back? You got to get in the end zone. You can't think 10 steps ahead. That philosophy does not win in the end. You need to take advantage of your opportunities when they lay right in front of you. And the opportunity yesterday was win and you're in, whether you're up 21-0, 48-0, or up by 7 points. And that's how the Giants' mindset had to be.
And don't mess around with it.
Yeah.
Don't mess around with it.
Don't be creative.
No. 201-939-4513. Hey, Steve's up in Connecticut. I haven't talked to Steve in a while. What's up, Steve?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I missed the late night call. It's always busy, you know, after the game or whatever.
I feel you, bro.
But, I was doing a little comparison, and tell me what you think about this. I X'd each person off. Roddy White, Miles Austin, Dez Bryant, Julio Jones.
Not bad.
Turner, Felix Jones, Gonzalez, Jason Witten. I don't know.
Wait, Steve, we got to stop you there.
Laurent Robinson, Harry Douglas, let's do it.
The Harry Douglas reference, let's not forget about the big boy.
And I'm just saying, what do you think? It's almost like we're playing the Cowboys again. Yeah, the Falcons, they got a decent secondary. I think they're one of their top players, Grimes. He's just coming off an injury, so Who do you think they're going to put out there for Cruz?
Well, I'll be honest with you. Don't forget on defense, John Abraham, DeMarcus Ware. He's really their best pass rusher. That's the guy that Giants are going to have to worry about getting to Eli Manning.
And Dante Robinson, who's a very lethal hitter.
Yes.
I mean, this guy can lay guys out. Look at what he did to DeSean Jackson last season.
Correct.
he takes his chances, but he also is very powerful in his hits. And they're going to look to at least try to rough somebody up at the line of scrimmage.
Guys, I got to be honest with you. All these guys calling up about the game next week, I have not done my scouting on the Falcons yet. I was at the stadium until like 2 o'clock. I woke up, came here. I got to be awake to deal with this
Wait a minute. Hold on here.
And yeah, I got
the
rock
Vinny
and roll.
If Vinny finds the time to put together a rhyme scheme,
well, he did it while we were doing the show.
Then you need to find the time to look at the Falcons depth chart.
I'll
at
be
least
ready.
Give it a 5-minute look.
I'll
here.
Be ready tomorrow.
Today's
about the look back. Tomorrow's about the look ahead.
You were very lucky that you pulled Harry Douglas out of your back pocket, because if you didn't bring him up, then I really would have been disappointed and I would have started to question your homework.
Dorothy is in South Carolina. Not going to question her homework. Dorothy, good morning.
Good morning and Happy New Year. What an awesome championship. I am so excited and so pleased with the Giants. I'm not only excited about the what they did, but how they did it. I'm going to talk about their character.
Sure.
I see such godly character in this team, the unselfishness, the humility. I mean, it's just so refreshing.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the team certainly played with a lot of fire, a lot of intensity, and a lot of heart yesterday, and it showed. You know, it wasn't necessarily apparent a couple of weeks prior, but they knew what was at stake. They knew one win, and they were in, and they came to play. You know, you couldn't say that against the Redskins a couple of weeks ago when something similar was on the platter.
You could say it Sunday, though.
Absolutely.
Sunday night, they brought their A game in a big spot, Dorothy.
Exactly. Woo-hoo!
All right, Dorothy, thanks for the phone
Appreciate the call. Fantastic. I love it. Giant fans are psyched, and they should be. Think about it. They haven't won a playoff game since 2000. They haven't won a game since 2007. There's no way he screams on the phone here trying to take callers. I don't know what he's doing over here.
Well, there's no fantasy segment today. He's got to make his presence known.
Well, again, the Giants haven't won a playoff game since 2007, haven't played in a playoff game since 2008, and I would be excited, too, if I was a Giant fan. Heck. And look, the NFC's wide open. Wide open. Especially if they don't have to go to New Orleans and play the Saints there, which I still think is a death sentence for any team.
And the Packers have shown that, you know, you can clearly score on them. The last couple of weeks, I don't think they've been as good.
The Chiefs
beat
the Packers a few weeks ago. The Chiefs. As long as Matt Flynn doesn't get play against, and those were 500 yards, broke the Packers' single-game record, by the way. That was a crazy game.
And, by the way, is Matt Flynn not going to get paid this offseason?
Oh, Matt, well, no, they're going to trade him and get picks.
Yeah.
That's what they're going to do.
Well, the question, I thought he was a free agent.
Oh, is he afraid
of
the year?
Yeah, so I don't even think they could trade him.
Oh, are you sure he's not restricted?
I'm pretty.
He's restricted.
He's restricted. Okay.
So yeah, he's unrestricted.
There you go. So
there you go. Yeah, he's going to get paid.
There's going to be a lot of teams that are in need of a quarterback.
I didn't realize he was unrestricted. Good call, guys. Well done.
Well, somebody looked at the restricted and unrestricted free agency list, even though the Giants
are
coming off a win.
You did it.
Wait a minute. Did I not throw out? He basically backed me up on that.
John is in Pennsylvania. Wow, just tooting his own horn. John, well, good morning.
How you doing? Good morning. Happy New Year's, everybody, to my official Giants fans.
What's up?
Giants players, Happy New Year's.
Happy New Year, my friend.
Thank you. I wanted to talk about the game and the Giants' intensity that has changed drastically through the season. We started off, you know, not doing so well. You know, we actually started off well during the middle of the stretch. We actually made some big mistakes, let a lot of key games get away from us. We got over these adversity, you know, with a lot of injuries. And this Giant team has really shown what it can do in these past two games. The defense has stepped up. The offense staggered in the Jets game. But, you know, from what we're able to do now, I don't think there's a team out there that can beat us. And me personally, if we have to go to see the Saints, then so be it. Let's take care of them too.
Confidence, and I would feel confident too coming off that game against Dallas. You play one of your best games of the year against a division rival. You put pressure on the quarterback. Your quarterback makes big plays to your number one wide receiver. You stop the run. You pressure the quarterback. Gotta love it. There's nothing to be upset about.
No, I mean, it's really hard to look at last night's game and find something that you want to be extremely critical of. Whether it be, you know, the run game, the pass game, special teams, I think they got contributions from all three facets of the football team. And the pass rush, by far, is probably the most impressive aspect of last night's game. The fact that, you know, they didn't just have a pass rush on first down. They had it on second down. They had it on third down and
so
forth.
Even fourth down.
Yes. And that says a lot about this team and the consistency in its performance, because that was something that I had been questioning on this show. every single week. What had I been saying? They're coming off a good defensive performance. Which one is going to show up this week?
We got two good ones in a row now, and one against a very explosive offensive team.
That didn't have Harry Douglas.
No, wow. You are, like, borderline obsessed now.
I am. He's no Jim Sorgi, though.
939-4513. Aaron's in Illinois. What's up, Aaron?
Hey, guys. Hey, good morning. Happy New Year.
Good morning.
Really excited about that Giants win. That was excellent to see that.
You should be.
Just to get that NFC East championship label again is great. I was a little concerned with OC, though. His ankle, he was saying his ankle was killing him, but no one was going to yank him off the field. I'm wondering if there might be some setbacks when he wakes up this morning, you know, with that ankle. I don't know if it's a guarantee that he's going to be playing next week. You know, there could be some problems with that. He probably got shot up, you know, just to get that foot ready to go. And a little worried about that. Hopefully he can go next week. But it's great to see the Giants defense play as well as they did. I think, like the last caller said, I think the Giants are hitting on all cylinders. They're playing as well as the team can play right now. I think it's going to be a good one next week. I feel like they're loose. They'll be playing loose, figuring no one gave them a shot to go in the playoffs anyways because of all the injuries in the beginning. And then they end up showing up and getting that number one or getting that opening when the Eagles are supposed to end up being the dream team. It's a feel-good thing. I think the Giants should be playing loose in the playoffs here.
No, they should.
Hanging up and listening to it.
No
well,
question.
I mean, you want them to play loose, but you still want that same fire and that same intensity. And the one thing that was brought up last night when I did the post-game show, and I think it was Victor, actually, who brought up this point, and I'm curious your perspective, John. You know, they knew what was at stake in the Jet game. There was that pride aspect, and also they needed the win to stay alive. They knew what was at stake with the Cowboy game. Obviously, a division rival.
Clearly,
division title on the line. And there's a lot on the line next week against the Falcons because you know if you lose, you're out. But will that same fire and that same intensity? I mean, is it
it's
going
the playoffs.
To? But there's no back against the wall type of feeling.
Yes, that's it what, is.
I don't know if it's
you
as
lose
evident.
Your season's
though,
over. That's as back against the wall as you can get.
I think it's a little bit different.
No, it's not.
I would make the argument a tad different.
You're sniffing Super Bowl run at this point, man. You lose, you go home.
Well, that's why I said the intensity that's shown in practice usually has dictated the last couple of weeks how well the team has performed.
If you're not intense heading into a playoff game, something's wrong with your wiring inside your noodle. That's the bottom line. I mean, it's the playoffs. Playoffs, Lance, come on.
You don't need to quote Jim Moore. I hear you. And I'm not saying that there's not enough motivation out there. You just hope that that same fire and
it'll
that same
there.
Intensity is still there.
I think the Giants in many ways have gotten over that problem. I feel like that Redskin game might have been a bit of a wake-up call. We'll see. Maybe I'm wrong. We've seen that before, and they have come out and had more flat performances. But to come out flat in the playoffs, that's inexplicable. There's no other way for me to put it. 201-939-4513. Alessa is down in Texas. Good morning. Alessa,
you
there?
Alessa, you there?
Hello?
Yes. What's up, Alessa?
What's on your mind?
I'm sorry. My name is James.
Oh, I'm sorry, James. Okay. James, you know what? We're going to take you here. Alessa, you're still on the line. We'll get to you next. James, go ahead. Sorry about that, buddy.
Hey, morning, fellas. How you doing?
Doing good,
James.
Hey, good. Well, listen, I just want to just give congratulations to the New York Giants, and I'm going to tell you this. It was an awesome game. One thing, this is just my one concern, is the secondary, because you know that besides Tony Gonzalez, besides Julio Jones, besides Roddy White, they have a very prolific passing game. Of course, they can stop the run, but when that passing game, I'm hoping, and I do see that they can hold up, but I would like to see, what do you think about the secondary going against their receiving core?
I think you get to the quarterback, and your secondary doesn't have to cover their receivers for that much longer. And frankly, I know that's simple, James, but that's where the Giants are right now. Their secondary is not an elite secondary. If you sit them out there and you make them cover for a long period of time against the likes of Roddy White, Julio Jones, Tony Gonzalez, Harry Douglas, they're going to give up big plays. That's just the way it is. But if the defensive line with Tuck healthy, OC healthy, Pierre Paul playing at a Pro Bowl level, and the other guys all there, Kiwanuka, Canty, et cetera, you get to Matt Ryan, you don't let him be comfortable, all of a sudden your secondary looks a heck of a lot better. It's about the pass rush. If there's anything the last 2 weeks that's been taught to you about this Giants defense, they win because of pass rush. They're not going to win because of secondaries out there covering guys for long periods of time.
Matt Ryan's been sacked 26 times this season. which I think a lot of the sacks have come earlier in the season. I don't have the exact breakdown in front of me. I mean, that's numbers not that high compared to what other quarterbacks have taken, but clearly, you know, the Falcons' offensive line has had some trouble, and I think it goes back to what John just touched on. You know, if they get to Matt Ryan consistently, he's not going to have enough time in the pocket to make plays down the field, and Julio Jones and Roddy White are more dangerous down the field than throwing to them just 10 yards. You know, because anybody can do that. What differentiates the Falcons from the rest of the receivers in the league is that they know how to stretch the field, especially a guy like Julio Jones, who's had some games where he's taken in like 280-yard grabs for touchdowns, and that could be his whole box score. He doesn't even have to do anything else other than have those big bombs that he's able to haul in for Matt Ryan, because Ryan will take his chances down the field, and the way he does that is when he has enough time in the pocket. So you get to Matt Ryan, you prevent him from having that comfort in the pocket. He is not going to be able to make those plays down the field, and that in turn will make the secondary look a lot better.
Hey, fellas, enjoy your day. Go Big Blue. Have a good day, y'all.
Thanks, right, James. James is one of our favorite callers down in Virginia. Does an excellent job. Now Mel working at the right button. We're going to go into Alessa in Texas.
Good morning. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Alessa. How are you?
New York Football Giants. No, I was saying last night I had to walk 3 miles to a sports bar to go to the game, and I was in a sea of Dallas fans. I was screaming and yelling so loud they wanted to put me out.
But you hung tight, right?
Oh, of course. Yeah, I hung tight. I was screaming and yelling. Then when they scored that little measly 14 points, everybody was like, where's she at? Where's she at? I said, that don't mean anything. I said, y'all still have to get another touchdown. And then we got a pick shortly after that. Oh, yeah, and I called that pick. They were so mad. I was like, pick, and then Monroe got the ball. I was like, run, no. I still have no voice from watching that game last night. It was so funny. But go Big Blue. I'm just so happy we did it. We got it done. I can't wait to go to work Tuesday night with all the Dallas fans I work with and all my Giants. I have Giants scrubs, so I can't wait to go to the hospital with my scrubs. Oh,
Giants
yeah.
scrubs, wow.
You're a nurse, Alessa, or a doctor? Are you a nurse, Alessa, or a doctor? Are you a nurse or a doctor?
No, nursing. I'm a nursing.
Very
no, no,
nice, very nice. Wear those scrubs proud tomorrow. You certainly earned it, and the Giants earned it for you. Enjoy talking some smack at the hospital.
Oh, yes, I will.
All right, Alessa, thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it.
Hopefully she won't have too many Cowboy fan patients to deal with. That won't be too fun.
Well, you know, nurses are, you know, they're yeah. trained, you know, take care mentally, physically. Maybe she'd help to get over some of their angst over that bad
Possible.
Cowboys
yeah.
loss while she's wearing her Giants scrubs.
She may have to be part therapist in
yes,
those Giants scrubs.
Exactly. 201-939-4513. Mike's up in New York. What's up, Mike?
Mikey there.
Hey, how's it going? Just want to see. Hello?
Yeah, yep, Mike, do me here. A favor. Turn the volume on your internet down and listen through your phone line for me.
All right. Hey, guys, how's it going? I'm just curious. I mean, that was a big win last night. I want to know what you think about the career of Tony Romo after this big loss.
I mean, I think he is an incomplete right now. I mean, he still is. He's only with 31. He still has three or four, five, six maybe prime years of his career left. The jury's still out. Clearly, he's a quarterback you can win with. In my opinion, he's a quarterback you can win a Super Bowl with. But he hasn't gotten to that next level yet where you can win a Super Bowl or win multiple playoff games. He has one playoff win in his life. That being said, that game yesterday and the reason for the Cowboys' loss, Tony Romo was about fifth or sixth on the list.
Yeah,
he was not the reason the Cowboys lost that game last night.
Yeah, I would agree with that, actually.
And Mike, for all the criticism that Tony Romo takes, and I know Giants fans love rubbing it in terms of Tony Romo's up
yeah,
and down
do.
Performance, the bottom line is, just from a pure football fan perspective, last night showed a lot about Tony Romo. I mean, the bruised hand, the hits that he took with all those sacks, and he still, you know, fought his way through that. You know, Romo can only be as good as his offensive line. And Eli Manning and other quarterbacks in this league know that. I know Manning's overcome some defensive deficiencies this season for the Giants, and he's playing at the top of his game, if not the top of any game in the NFL. But I thought what Romo had to play through last night, you know, just said a lot about his fire and his intensity as a quarterback. Unfortunately, you're basically judged by your results.
Yep,
and
no
Tony
question.
Romo
and
does not have that strong resume that an Eli Manning and a lot of other quarterbacks have. And until he does that, and until he wins consistently and takes this team far into the playoffs, you know, the jury's still going to be out on Romo. But I still think I was impressed with his heart and his fire last
night. And Mike, remember this. A quarterback can't do it by himself. He always needs help from his teammates, offensive line, receivers. Miles Austin had a couple of drops. He needs help from the defense. Quarterback can't do it on his own.
Yep. All right, thanks, guys.
All right, appreciate it, Mike. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Back to the phones. Patrick is in Tampa Bay, Florida. What's up, Patrick?
Hey, guys. I'm from Jersey City, but I've been down in Florida for about 10 years now. It was fun watching the G-men pull it off. Nothing finer than seeing the Cowboy fans become a whiner.
I'm sure there was a lot of Cowboy fans whining last night. No question, Pat.
Oh, man. It's just I kind of put on my Facebook a few weeks back about seeing them almost beat the Packers. I was like, this made me feel similar than like they did against the Pats back in the Super Bowl year. I mean, they're just starting to gel at the right time, and it's just the maturity on the team. It's just great to see Cruz playing as well as he is and not getting a big head. He's staying even keel. I think Coughlin has a lot to do with that. That's just great to watch.
Yeah, it's great when a good guy like Victor Cruz has the success that he does. And he's a great player. He's honestly a better person. He got voted the Good Guy Award by the media this year. He always makes himself available. And he's one of these guys that I think really loves what he does, too. He's a football fan. You know, a lot of NFL athletes, they'll play football, but they don't love the game. Like, I remember Jeremy Shockey when he was here. The Giants happened not to make the playoffs that year, and we were having a conversation in the hallway, and it was just, oh, Jeremy, you know, what'd you think of the playoff games this week? Oh, I don't watch playoff games. Why? I don't watch football. You know, it's like one of those things. And but Victor, you know, it's funny enough, he grew up a Cowboy fan. He made that point during the week, and he loves the game. He loves to play, and he's a great player, but he's a better guy, and it really is refreshing to see that, especially as Lance mentioned earlier in the show. It's a league where at that position, quite frankly, it's a league full of divas and guys that are me-first guys. They're showboats, and Cruz, Hakeem Nicks, and Manningham, they aren't those types of guys. They really aren't. I think, like the caller pointed out, has a lot to do with the head coach, Tom Coughlin, and how he handles his team and how everything is team first.
Yeah, he doesn't accept that type of performance. You know, it's another good example. Stevie Johnson yesterday. I don't know if you saw what he did. He picked up his shirt.
Not.
He picked up his shirt after he scored a touchdown against the Patriots. Remember, the Bills jumped out to a 21-0 lead. It said, Happy New Year. And Stevie Johnson's done this week in and week out. This is nothing new.
Correct.
But Chan Gailey made it clear to Stevie Johnson. Remember, he almost cost – he cost the Bills that Jets game a couple of weeks ago, which was right here at MetLife Stadium, when he had a couple of drops, and he also mimicked and made fun of Plexico Burress. You know, that could be costly because you get boneheaded penalties. So Chan Gailey, what does he do after Stevie Johnson, you know, pulls up his shirt? He yanked him. Didn't play the rest of the game.
Should have.
And Tom Coughlin would have done the same thing if any of those Giants receivers did that.
Good for Chan Gailey.
Yeah, I agree. You know, and I know Buffalo had nothing to play for, but you know what? There's a point where you have to show your team that this is my ship, okay? And you are just passengers on my ship. You want to come for the ride, you got to behave.
201-939-4513. Isaiah in Brooklyn, New York. What's up, Isaiah? How are you?
I'm good, man. How about you?
Doing well, Isaiah. How are you?
I'm good. I'm just wondering what your thoughts are on the Falcons matchup and whether, you know, that in your mind, if that is a more favorable one for the Giants, figuring in all of the weapons that the Falcons have in the deep passing game and stuff.
Well, I don't know if John is in a position to answer this question. To be honest with you, because he claims that he did not have an opportunity to look over the Falcons' depth chart. But
I said I haven't done my Falcons scouting report yet. I've watched the Falcons many times this year. I'm very familiar with the team. Offensively, the Falcons provide a lot of challenges. They have big play wide receiver in Julio Jones. Roddy White is one of the better, I'm not going to call him a possession receiver, but he's great in that intermediate area all year long. He has a lot of drops, and that's an issue you're going to look for next week. They have drops in a dome. So they got here at MetLife Stadium next week, and the conditions outdoor, it's going to be 48 degrees. Looks like it's going to be nice. We'll see. But there's wind conditions, all those extra variables. Let's see how those wide receivers catch the ball in an outdoor scenario.
Giants have had drops, too.
Correct. Michael Turner, as Lance mentioned, a powerful running back. Matt Ryan's a good quarterback. But again, you can get to him. That Falcons offensive line is not great. And their defensive line is not great. They have one good pass rusher in John Abraham. Otherwise, they struggle getting to the quarterback. Their secondary has had some issues this year. So to me, this is going to be another similar game to Dallas this week where there's going to be scoring on both sides. If the Giants can pressure Matt Ryan and they can win the battle at the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball, they got a darn good chance of winning this football game. All right, Isaiah, appreciate it.
Looks like you gave a full answer.
I've rendered him speechless.
I'm impressed.
How's that scouting report, Neto?
You bounced back. You almost quieted me. But I'm going to throw a little bit more out on the plate here in terms of the outdoor factor, which I was looking at last night. Clearly, the Falcons play in a dome. I was curious how they've been tested this season in outdoor games.
Oh, what do you got?
Well, they technically have not played an outdoor game against a cold weather team since October.
Who they play?
I'll bring up their schedule right now, and they've played. You know, clearly they had 8 road games, only 4 outdoor games. The other 4 games were actually against domed opponents.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, because they went to Indianapolis, they went to Detroit.
All early in the year too.
Early in the
Chicago,
year, they went to
Tampa,
New Orleans,
and Seattle.
Yeah, Houston. All of those teams are domed teams that they went to. So 4 of their 8 were inside. And look at the teams that they went up against early in the season, though. Chicago, the weather's not terrible in September.
It's going to be beautiful.
Seattle's unpredictable, but it was early
October.
But that was really the last test outdoors.
Carolina in December, that's it. You know, you're right. Good call, Lance.
So that'll be interesting to see what type of perspective that plays out.
On grass, too. You take away some of that speed advantage, you play on grass instead of turf.
But your weather forecast has shown that it's going to be pretty mild here.
And I just said grass. Why would I think MetLife Stadium has grass?
It's been a long night.
Yeah, I know. It has been a long night. I apologize, folks. At least I caught it myself, right? Jeez. Whew. Thank God. Last call of the show. Felix, down to the Dominican Republic. We're going international once again. Good morning, Felix.
Exactly. I'm calling you from here, from the Dominican Republic. It was a shame that I could not be present on that game, but I saw it through the NBC network here. 3 things I want to point out. The first thing is, what do you think happened after the Giants had 21 points? I thought that they slowed their offense down. They played very conservative. That's why they didn't score more points. That's one part. The other part is the defensive front. I thought that after they had 21 points, they started playing like a very safe defense, prevent defense. And the last thing, what this guy Ryan had said after that, because he promised that he was going to win.
Well, I mean, in terms of them being conservative after going up 21-0, I think that was, to be honest with you, more of a reflection of some adjustments the Cowboys' defense made.
I would tend to agree. And Eli made a couple bad throws. He had one throw to Nix on a 3rd down for a 3rd-and-8. He hit him for 7 yards, but it was a very low throw, so Nix couldn't catch it and run for the 1st down. But I think a big factor, Felix, in that situation was that the Giants wanted to go into that, 6-minute offense where you run the football, you control the clock, and when you can't run the football in those spots, you get stuck in a lot of 3rd-and-longs. And you have problems converting 3rd downs. And another issue I think they had in that 3rd and 4th quarter when the Cowboys came back and scored those 14 points, it's not that they, caged the Lions and pulled back. The Cowboys just did a better job protecting the quarterback, and they protected Tony Romo. The Giants were getting pressure with a 4-man pass rush in that first half. You got to that 3rd quarter and 4th quarter, the Giants couldn't get that same pressure on Tony Romo, so he had time to operate. That turns into points for the Cowboys.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Felix. Great call. International, Lance.
Japan, Dominican Republic.
I didn't realize you did, you kept track of the whole play-by-play over the course of these games.
I keep notes as I go.
You realize you can just print that out after
I know,
the game,
but
right?
I like to actually write down, I like to write down, who had the pressure there or who made a penalty. And other notes that don't necessarily show up online.
I didn't realize you actually did any work during these games.
It's amazing what you learn on a Monday morning.
Yeah, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right, wow, we've almost got an hour and a half here. So let's try to wrap at 11. We've got 5 minutes to go through our picks very quickly. And Lance picked up a game this week. He went 4-2. I went 3-3. Very fortunate that the Texans could not convert that 2-point conversion. That was a 2-game swing right there, Mr. Metal. Plus, the Lions gave up that late touchdown to Green Bay. So I was on the verge of gaining three games on you this week if those two games didn't end the way they did.
The coulda, woulda, shoulda argument. Isn't it fun?
Aren't you the one that makes those arguments every morning when you come in?
Well, listen.
When you're yelling at Neely for 20 minutes before the show and I'm trying not to get a headache at 8:30 in the morning?
Considering I picked up a game, I'm sitting pretty right here entering the postseason.
You are
just
one
like
game
the Giants,
back.
I'm riding some momentum here.
You are. All right. We'll go through this real quick. Jets finished their season with a whimper. Questions about their offensive coordinator, their quarterback. They lose to the Miami Dolphins in another pathetic offensive performance. The one thing I want to bring up in this game is the Santonio Holmes incident. And this is what happens when you give a captain's sticker to a guy that hasn't earned it, doesn't deserve it, and doesn't know what leadership is. That's what you get. Disaster.
They have some major questions that they need to address in the offseason. It goes beyond coaching. It also goes to the personnel standpoint and probably their quarterback play. They're going to have to certainly decide whether or not Mark Sanchez is the future
or
they
want to
bring in somebody
else. I think you got to give him one more year. Maybe if you want, draft a developmental guy this year in the second or third round to maybe back him up. So if you decide to go away from Sanchez in 2013, you can make that decision and have a guy that's more ready to take his place. But I think you got to give Sanchez one more year, get a better offensive line, give him better protection, get a more consistent running game, maybe a new offensive coordinator so he can work in a different system. That's probably how I would handle it.
I agree with you. I think he deserves more time, but his decision-making needs to take tremendous strides.
Oh, and his accuracy. I mean, he's not accurate down the field.
But the decision-making really stood out in that Dolphins game yesterday compared to what Eli Manning does. You know, Eli Manning gets pressured. He's willing to throw the ball away.
He gets happy feet. Sanchez looks like he panics.
Yeah. And also, when he's being brought down via sack, he still tries to get rid of the football.
Both of us, another game we differed on. You had the Bengals, I had the Ravens, a game that kind of went down to the wire there. And now Baltimore gets that much-coveted first-round bye, which is huge for them. They get to play a home playoff game, something that they really haven't had a chance to do because the Steelers just keep beating them for that AFC North crown. So that a big win for Baltimore heading into the postseason. They're dangerous.
Yeah, the Ravens had swept the Steelers in the regular season, so that was certainly a big plus for them to take care of business. I was surprised. I really thought, you know, Cincy with a home game, a lot to play for. I mean, fortunately for them, they're still in the playoffs.
I was going
to
say.
Despite the loss, it just goes to show you how crazy those tiebreakers are, by the
way. Oh, and the AFC is nuts. Another game that was crazy. I mean, let's talk about it. That was affected by those tiebreakers. The Broncos lose to the Chiefs. They still manage to get into the postseason. But that Tim Tebow train, and a little derailment towards the end of the season.
We both said it on this show. It's the Denver defense that deserves all the credit this season.
They lost 7-3 yesterday, right? That was the final?
Yeah.
I mean, you got to score more than 3 points. I mean, come on. It's the Chiefs defense we're talking about here. And by the way, great job by Romeo Crennel closing out that season for Kansas City. Maybe he earned that head coaching job. We'll see.
Big, strong case. I mean, first game on the job, he beats the Packers. That says a lot. And then gets this team prepared down the stretch
and
to finish off strong.
He has head coaching experience, has been in the league for a long time. We'll see if Romeo can get a shot there. And then finally, the Chargers take it to the Raiders like both of us thought would happen. The Raiders' defense just can't hold up. They can't stop anybody. But again, crazy in the AFC. The Titans, because of permutations and the tiebreakers, they don't make it into the postseason. And there you go. And the Broncos now at 8-8, and they're not a good football team. They get to host the 12-4 Steelers. And I haven't looked at the lines yet, but I guarantee you the Steelers are at least a 6-point favorite in that game.
They should be.
At least.
I'm just waiting for the AFC West to be won by a team with a winning record. Can that happen anytime in the near future?
Well, you got the NFC West won by a team with a winning record this year. That means anything can happen.
True. Well, after the Seahawks won it with an under 500 record.
All right, the game we were head-to-head on, the Titans just inch out a win over the Texans. They have a bad false start there on the 2-point conversion. They have to go for it from 6 yards out. Jake Delhomme could not get them into the end zone.
Bad snap, too.
Bad snap over his head. I mean, oof. And as Bob Papa said to me in the booth yesterday, he could have been snapping it to the punter. It would have been over the punter's head. I mean, that thing wasn't even close. It was woo, see ya.
But amazing that Jake Delhomme literally walking off the street and gets that team back in that game with a chance to certainly finish off the season.
Maybe Jake Delhomme will find this backup quarterback job somewhere next year now. Maybe even a starting job. Who knows?
I mean, if there's a big trend that was made yesterday, it was that quarterbacks who didn't necessarily have starting jobs or were backups made statements. Jake Delhomme, Matt Flynn.
Yeah, Matt Flynn sitting that 480-yard, you know, all of a sudden. Yeah, maybe Aaron Rodgers isn't that good. Look what Matt Flynn can do in that same offensive system. But Aaron Rodgers is pretty good, folks. Let's not go nuts.
And this should not be breaking news regarding Matt Flynn. He had a very good game against the Patriots last season when Rodgers had the concussion.
No, remember, Caleb Haney played well last season, too, and then he showed up this year and he was not very good
That's
for the
true.
Bears. So
Matt Flynn also has a national championship under his belt in college, so that
helps. I didn't realize you were a member of the Matt Flynn fan club, Lance.
Well, listen, I do. I like the Packers offense. They're fun to watch. And whether Matt Flynn or Aaron Rodgers is running the show, those guys know how to move the football.
And finally, Lance thought the Colts would upset the Jaguars and potentially blow their chance at Mr. Luck. They do not. They lose, and they will have the first pick overall in the draft come April.
Things are going to be very interesting in Indy this offseason.
Peyton Manning will not be on the Colts in 2 months.
Really?
That's
all
my bet.
Well, we'll see.
That's my bet.
Well, the first step is
I don't know anything. That's my guess.
The first step is that bonus that he's due. How
February
are they going to
1st?
Treat that?
When is that?
No, I think it's March, isn't it? Isn't it early March?
I thought it was February.
June. Melrose has been sleeping.
No,
I don't know. We looked to him. He helped me out here with the Matt Flynn free agency. He really sold himself strong early in the show.
The only deadline he needs to know is when his keepers are doing his fantasy leagues. Those are the only deadlines he's interested in.
But that time has come and gone.
Yes.
In terms of the fantasy.
No, apparently he did win in overall points the Big Blue Kickoff Live Fantasy Challenge, and Lance, you came in second, correct?
Yeah, but the wins is what counts, okay?
March 6th it's due? For some reason,
see,
I thought it was earlier
it
than
was
that.
March.
Yeah, good call.
2 for 2 today. Anyway, you love to throw out the
Do you want me to have a parade come down the hallway for you?
Listen, we have rolled out the red carpet for you at times.
That's
throughout
true.
The training
That's
facility.
Point.
So
no,
it's only fair to return the favor here.
Okay.
But anyway, you love to throw
the
out
the red
these
carpet
minor
you have is we went out the door.
Well, yeah, when we finish the show here.
Yes. Well,
you love to throw out these minor statistics here. At the end of the day, it's who wins and who loses. And the last time I checked, that's 4 fantasy wins, okay? I'll leave it at that. Oh, now look who came
out. I wasn't
going
to do it, Meadow.
Here we go.
Be quick here. I got work I got to do. I got a Falcons game to prepare
that's
for.
Only
it's 11
o'clock.
We've got off an hour and a half.
So the grand total, did I email? No, I didn't. Nita had 706 points overall. You had 726, and I had 816.
Wow, that's not even close. He's the one that did the addition, so he might have cooked
those
books.
And by the way, he's also relying on ESPN to do the calculations. You believe this? You would think we would develop our
worldwide
own
leader.
Scoring.
Yeah. Well,
that's my biggest complaint about this league.
I think that's fair.
I think next season we should do that.
Oh, that's going to be priority number one.
I think you should put Lance in charge of it.
Yeah, Lance.
I may need to take the reins here.
I'm not sure if you want Lance as your commissioner. He would be iron-fisted. He'd change rules midstream to give him the advantage. It would not be good. It would not be a good
penalty
scene.
Yards would become
Believe
like
me,
a fantasy stat.
Being in another fantasy league with him, I get weekly emails about changing scoring systems that cause him to lose games. He's a very, very, very sore loser.
I take my fantasy
football very seriously. That's a yes.
I'm not going to deny that, but let's put it that way.
All right. Lance, excellent job. We went an hour and a half today. Yeah. Longest show of the year. Giant fans did a great job. You kept us on. We probably took around 25, 30 calls over the course of the show. Excellent work. A lot to talk about this week as the Giants get ready for their first playoff game in 3 seasons at home. Maybe they can get the first ever playoff win at MetLife Stadium. It is the first ever playoff game at MetLife Stadium. Let's make some history next week against those Atlanta Falcons. And, of course, stay tuned to Giants.com all week long for preview of that game. Head coach Tom Coughlin of his press conference on Wednesday at 11 o'clock. We have it live right here. It'll give you all the latest on all the injuries and everything else New York Giants football. Hear about Ballard. Maybe he'll get back. We'll hear if there's any injuries coming off of this game. All important stuff. Make sure you check it out. And, of course, stay tuned to Big Blue Kickoff Live every morning this week from 9:30 to 10:30 on Giants.com. Every single day, get your Giants fix. Lance, final thought, be quick.
Just keep building off the intensity that they brought yesterday, specifically with respect to the pass rush. That's going to be the key in the playoffs.
Romo's in the crosshairs last week. Matt Ryan, it's your turn to feel the heat. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Have a good one.